You're listening to Big Blue Kickoff Live on Giants.com. John Schmuck, Lance Mehta with you. Talking Giants football at 201-939-4513. Hashtag Giants chat. The New York Football Giants with a big win against the Atlanta Falcons yesterday, beating them 30-10. A nice two-score victory. Lance, that was in the neighborhood we talked about where the score would be. Overall, I thought the defense played poorly in the first half, played a little bit better in the second half. The offense, steady the whole day. And to me, this is probably the best single-game performance by the Giants this year because I think the Falcons played better football than both the Texans and the Redskins did in the Giants' previous two wins. I was very impressed with how the Giants went down in this game, kept their composure, came back, played well in the second half to get the win.
Well, and I think that the Falcons exceeded the expectations of many coming into this game. And what I mean by that, the biggest storyline entering this contest was, well, the Falcons' offensive line is banged up. The Giants are going to have a field day, and they're going to collect about 10, 15 sacks. And I thought the Falcons' offensive line played very well. They gave Matt Ryan time to throw the football. He also dumped it off to the running backs a lot. They adjusted to what the Giants brought to the table. And the Falcons' secondary, I thought, played a very good game. If you recall, early in the contest, Eli Manning had time and time and time to step back and throw the football. And he looked left, he looked right, and he had no wide receivers open down the field. He didn't try to press the envelope. Part of that was because of what Olford brought to the table and what Trufant brought to the table in that Falcons secondary. So with that being said, I would agree with you. Start to finish, Falcons played a solid game, and that really tested the Giants, and they rose to the occasion.
And we'll get to the offense in a sec. I want to start with the Giants' defense. They were taking on the highest-rated offense in the league. Granted, the Falcons without three of their starting offensive linemen from the beginning of the year, four other offensive linemen not playing in the same position they were supposed to play in at the start of the year. So they're very banged up. But in the first half, Lance, the Falcons had about 220 yards of total offense. They moved the ball up and down the field at will. Matt Ryan was getting rid of the ball quickly, as we talked about in the pregame show. But I thought the Giants' pass rush, and Perry Field trusted his front four in the first half to get to the quarterback. They weren't getting there, but at halftime they came out. Perry Field brought a few more blitzes. You saw Jameel McClain, coming with some linebacker blitzes. You saw some corner blitzes as well, and I thought the defense up front played much better in the second half. They stopped the run better, and they put more pressure on Matt Ryan.
And it's a lot easier to put pressure on the opposing quarterback when you actually have a lead, so that gave Perry Field a little bit more flexibility. With that being said, you'd like to see more consistency.
Yeah.
From start to finish. Jonathan Hankins had that nice sack, and he's been very consistent since the start of the season. John, the best way that I would describe the defensive performance yesterday, maybe more so in the first half than the second half, it was a bend but don't break type of philosophy because they were giving up the yards, they were giving up the big plays, but what happened when the Falcons got in the red zone, they honed in and they prevented them from getting in the end zone and they had them settle for field goals.
And Lance, I'll tell you what, and I was going to bring this up and you beat me to the punch, that to me was the most important aspect of this game. If the Falcons inside the 10-yard line put those two balls into the end zone instead of settling for field goals in the first half, I'm not sure the Giants come back and win this game because then you have to abandon the run. You have to go to the air. Maybe Eli takes some chances that he wouldn't normally take, and all of a sudden, you turn the ball over and bad things happen. The defense keeping the Falcons out of the end zone after those drives in the first half were the biggest plays of the game to me.
Two drives in the second quarter. One came off of the Preston Parker fumble. So the Falcons score, you're a tied game, and then all of a sudden the Giants cough the football up. You give a gift to the Falcons right within the 20, and you hold them to a field goal. And then right at the end of the second quarter, the Falcons had an extremely lengthy drive. Roddy White had a pass attempt to him right in front of the end zone. Jameel McClain and Prince Amukamara converge, break it up, and the Falcons again have to settle for a field goal. Those were two game-changing plays because, as John mentioned, you know, this is a team coming in that was 8 of 9 in the red zone. They had 9 trips. They scored 8 touchdowns. They were just 1 for 3 yesterday, so the percentage dipped. The Falcons had to settle for 3 points as opposed to 7, and that at least played into the hands of the Giants yesterday because if they put 14 points on the board, John, it's a bigger deficit at the break, and all of a sudden the strategic performance changes somewhat because you don't have nearly as much flexibility.
I was surprised that 3rd and 4 from the 4-yard line, the Falcons tried to run it in on that first drive they had inside the 5-yard line at the start of the second quarter, and then they threw 3 passes to try to get it in at the end of the second quarter. Now, time was an issue there, too, so they really couldn't run the ball. They had to put it in the air because they were out of timeouts, but the Giants certainly do a good job of keeping them out of the end zone, and again, I thought those plays were absolutely key. A couple of things I want to touch on here, Lance. You mentioned Jonathan Hankins. I think he's becoming becoming a much better pass rusher than anybody thought he would be. He's been very impressive. Robert Ayers, once again, getting to the quarterback. He's one of the best play-to-sack ratios in the NFL. He's been playing very good football. But one thing that concerns me a little bit is Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie was in and out of that game an awful lot. And he had that weird leg injury last week. There was never really clarity on what happened to him. They called it a thigh injury. He practiced during the week. He said after the game, during the week, it felt great. I had him on the radio pregame show. He said he felt great.
You massaged the groin for him, too.
That did not happen.
Continue.
I believe that's your special role with
hey,
DRC.
I'm not going there.
Well, but you did. You did go there.
I wanted to throw the 2 cents for you. Anyway.
But I would be a little concerned with a corner that relies on his speed. And clearly he still has his speed because despite getting blocked out of bounds, he still almost caught Antoine Smith from behind on that screen pass. I would be a little bit concerned that Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie seems to be battling some type of nagging leg injury, whatever that might be.
Well, with that being said, though, how about the play of Tremaine McBride?
Yep.
And I'm not saying that you're going to take Dominique Rodgers. Correct. Bowman, too. Well, the depth of this cornerback crew, we knew that coming into the season.
And
they
Prince
showed
played
that in
great
the preseason.
Again.
Correct.
Prince was awesome again.
It's troubling that DRC is battling some injuries. However, I think it says a lot about the depth of this secondary. You referred to that play where he nearly caught Antoine Smith.
He's so fast, Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie. It's unbelievable.
But here's what happened on that play. After Antro Roll misses the tackle.
Which he admitted, by the way, he took a bad angle on the play. Knows what he did wrong. He wanted to try to bring him down before the first down marker, flattened out his angle too much, and that's what caused him his tackle.
DRC is right here. Right. Roll is here because the play happens on the sideline. We're giving a visual aid here during the course of the program. And DRC...
So this is
exactly.
Antoine Smith.
Yes.
Okay. Do you want to use the highlighter?
Well, now you're
Dominique
confusing
Rodgers
me. You're ruining the whole presentation. Thank you. The point I was going to make is DRC had so much faith in Antro Roll.
Yeah.
If you go back and watch that play, he doesn't even come over to help because he thinks the play is going to stop. And then all of a sudden, DRC's caught out of position. So that allows the sideline to open up for Antoine Smith.
You could say he has so much faith in Antro Roll, or you could say he didn't hustle and get to where he
it's
had to be to help Antro Roll make the play.
I think, take
your pick.
We'll settle in between on that. But that's what happens when you anticipate your teammate making a play. Regardless of whether you think Antro Roll is going to make the play, you got to come over and the help defensive set.
And by the way, we saw a similar play to that in another part of the game. After Quinton Demps had his interception and then he fumbled, I know there was a flag thrown and the Falcons would have kept the ball anyway. But the Giants didn't know that at the time. And ended up giving the Falcons another 30 yards of field position in the process. When Demps is doing that return, he fumbles. Antro Roll and Jameel McClain are just like...
looking around. Yeah.
And the ball's sitting on the ground right next to him. Somebody go make a play. Somebody pay attention.
Can't stand around. And
can't
that's what
that.
Happened a lot.
Can't do that.
And that's why they're giving up big plays time and time again.
Yeah.
I know we sound like the cliched version of, oh, well, people are out of position, lack of gap control. The players throw it out time and time again. But the truth is, if you go back to the video, more often than not, it's not a matter of these guys are not able to make the plays. It's the fact that mentally they're just out of position and out of the game, and that's why the opposition is able to capitalize.
And we will get to your calls in just a second at 201-939-4513. But I want to get to the offense very quickly. Hashtag Giants chat on Twitter as well. And Lance brought up the offense. And a couple things we want to touch on. Still no word on Rashad Jennings and the knee injury. He's getting an MRI today. Hopefully by the end of the day, we'll have some type of news on Giants.com as to what his deal is. I personally would not be surprised if he missed a game or two. Usually running back, sprained knee, has to come out of the game, can't return. Usually you're going to miss maybe a week, maybe two. But who knows? Rashad Jennings, a quick healer. We'll see if he can get back and play this week. Number two, it was pretty clear to me, Lance, and we talked about this on the radio pregame show. And frankly, if I'm an NFL team, this is what I would do every game against the Giants. You take Victor Cruz out of the game, and then you figure out a way to take Larry Dennell out of the game. The Falcons were one of the first teams to really give him a hard time off the line of scrimmage in this game, and it kind of took him out of it. He said that in his post-game interviews. And they said, Reuben Randle, go out there and beat us. And Reuben Randle had some catches. He made some plays. He finished with, let's see, 4 catches, which was tied for the team lead for 33 yards and that big touchdown. But he had 4 catches on 10 targets. He didn't come up with as many plays as you would like. And I think what we saw, and I'm trying to spin this into the positive here, is the type of impact Odell Beckham Jr. can have. Because once he came into the game, the Falcons single-covered him. He beat the corner deep on that one play. Eli got blitzed. Andre Williams missed the block. He had to throw it out of bounds. Didn't make the play, but you could tell. That put it in the Falcons' heads. Wow, this kid's got some speed. Later on in the game, he runs the same type of play. pushes the corner off, does a little comeback route, wide open. Good play in the end zone, goes up and gets the ball. And when we talked about picking Beckham in that first round, and you guys know I was a proponent of picking a playmaker in the first round. That's what I wanted. This is what I was talking about. When you take Cruz out of the game, someone else is going to have to burn the other team. And Beckham showed in his first game, first NFL game, no preseason, no nothing, that he can be that guy.
He was a difference maker yesterday. To me, the most appealing aspect of his game, regardless of the speed, is the fact that he'll aggressively pursue the football.
Oh, yeah.
And you need that. You don't want a guy that's just going to run his route. Eli's going to throw it up. He's going to look around and then eventually try to find the ball. He goes towards the football. And Eli's been in need of that for not just this season, but last season especially. So it's important that when he has favorable matchups, he steps up, because this is what's going to happen now. As John just alluded to, attention's going to go towards Larry Donnell. Teams already know they have to take Victor Cruz out of the equation. So that means more opportunities for Reuben Randle, more opportunities for Preston Parker, more opportunities for Odell Beckham Jr. And that's how you have a deep roster of wide receivers. Are they there yet in the consistency department? No, because you don't want to keep seeing Randle have games where he'll get eight catches for 80-some-odd yards, which he did in the last game.
And he throws up a donut.
And then he comes back with a donut, or then he comes back again where he's targeted 10 times and he only has four receptions. So the consistency factor needs to come into the equation with respect to Reuben Randle. But for Odell Beckham to get out there, and I did not expect him to have this big of an impact. You know, I was thinking he's going to get his feet wet, he'll get a few punt returns there and there, and he gets the game-winning touchdown and makes some plays to move the chains. You know, that says a lot about where he's at least mentally.
And very quickly, I think, you know, the Giants' offense and defense have been okay this year. The offense overall, only 320 yards of offense yesterday, not great. The defense is still not ranked great, especially against the pass. But here's what's really saving the Giants' bacon this year, and these are stats that they've had issues with before, and I looked them up before the show. Red zone percentage, the Giants are scoring on 63% of the red zone opportunities. It's 13th in the league, which is pretty good. It's about the middle of the league. But they are 5th in the NFL in goal-to-go. In goal-to-go situations, they have 85% of the time they're getting in the end zone for touchdowns. 5th best in the league. Then defensively, and by the way, on offense, 5th and 3rd down percentage, 48% conversion rate. On defense, they're 3rd best in the league on 3rd down defense, and they're 6th best in the league in red zone defense. So those 3rd down red zone opportunities, when you have to get it done and execute, offensively and defensively, the Giants are doing a good job, and that's one of the big reasons they're 3-2 to me.
Well, the Giants were 9 of 15 on 3rd down. This is a big disparity. Falcons were 2 of 13. I mean, that is huge. And let's not forget, the Falcons coming in were tied for 2nd in 3rd down efficiency at 55%. So they wiped that advantage off the table, and we went over earlier in the show the red zone struggles. 8 for 9 coming in for the Falcons, 1 for 3 in this game. If you win those battles, John, and you force high prolific offenses to settle for 3 points instead of 7, more often than not, you're at least going to be in a position at the end of the game to win that contest.
All right, folks, I got some chatter on Twitter over the weekend. I kind of polled some people whether or not we should try to go through callers quicker to get some more voices on, and I know Monday's a very busy show with the volume of calls. So we're going to try to bang these calls pretty quickly here. All right, so let's do one or two comments, or one comment, one question, and then we'll move on. We'll go back and forth once, then we're going to go on to the next caller at 201-939-4513. We got a full bank. Let's start out with Joe in Pennsylvania. He's been holding the longest. Joe, what's going on?
Good morning. I just hope you're right there with Jennings that I'd even take 2 or 3 games, that it's nothing serious for the year.
Well, Joe, that's true. The only bad thing is that you're playing 2 straight division games, so it would stink to lose them for those two. But you know what? If you lose them for those two, then you got the bye week. That'll give him basically 4 weeks off before he has to play his next game, and hopefully that would be enough.
Yeah, and I just want to reiterate what you say with Beckham. He really does attack the ball, and he's like an octopus going after it. And I just want to say I hope for the end of the season. I know Paul wanted Martin so bad that maybe he'll reconsider that Beckham and the guy they took there, the second round, the guard there.
It's funny you mentioned that, Joe. All these drafting offensive linemen in the first round, people that I heard all about after week one, been kind of quiet the last 4 weeks with this offensive line doing a pretty good job. Haven't heard quite as much chatter, and I told you so's from that group.
Yeah, I just want to say, I think we were saying the offense or the defense and the specialty teams have to carry the load here. I think the offense is just about there with the defense now, and I see all the Eagle games too, and they are so they're blocking kicks and taking it into the end zone, and their offense hasn't been running real well, but they have been very opportunist. They're, you know, blocking kicks
opportunistic,
and taking them in.
Yeah, Joe, you're right. And I don't mean to cut you off. I'll let you continue. They had a blocked punt yesterday. They had two special teams defensive touchdowns, and they also had a few of those touchdowns in the Niners game. Now, they can't bank on that every single game, but that's taken the pressure off of the Eagles' offense, looking briefly ahead to their next matchup, and you'd like to get in a position like that here with the Giants. I'll say this about the Giants' offense, Joe, and you were alluding to this a little. They've protected the football over the last few games, so that's not at least giving favorable field position to the opposition, and that's important. First few games of the season, Eli Manning and company are giving gifts to the opposition, and that's putting the defense with its back against
them. They've won the turnover battle, and they've won the last three games. That's usually how it goes, Joe. Finish up. What else you got?
That's about it, and that this young draft class may still prove to be one of the best. They're really coming through, these young guys.
Way too early, Joe, to figure that out, but the early returns are good.
They're looking good. Thanks.
Thanks,
all.
You got it, Joe. Appreciate it.
I don't even like judging a draft class after two seasons, alone five games.
You got to wait sometimes 3 years.
You like what you see out of Andre Williams. You didn't mention him off the top. He ran the ball pretty well, 20 carries, 65 yards. Showed some of that power they had at Boston College, running through some tackles.
To get a first down.
Pushing the pile for some first downs. So we liked what we saw out of Andre Williams, but we've had one game out of your first round pick.
Correct.
Westberg's been great. Richburg's been great, rather. And
Devon Kennard's flash, but he's been unhealthy, obviously. So that's limited his production.
I would say there's talent. Now we got to see if they can put that into consistent play. 201-939-4513. Back to the phones. Nick from New Jersey. Nick, you're up next.
Hey, guys. How are you today?
What's up, Nick?
Doing well, Nick. What you got?
All right. Two things. You got to give props to the special teams for keeping Devin Hesner in check.
Great point.
He barely was a factor in that game.
Great point.
Well, he had that early run that he took out of the end zone, but outside of that, I think they did do a nice job containing him.
Yeah, and secondly, props to the offensive line because Eli had all day to throw that ball, all day.
No, he did. Look, he did a good job. I think Eli's still getting rid of the ball quick, and I think that certainly helps the offensive line out a lot. But this offensive line the last four games has been a lot better than anybody thought. Everyone was in full-out panic mode after week one, and it turns out, look, is this – the most dominant offensive line in the league where you're going to road grade your way like the 49ers were the last couple of years? No, it's probably not there, but it's certainly good enough to give Eli the time to execute this offense properly.
And in addition to the protection, Nick, before we let you continue, how about the fact that the team has run for over 100 yards in three consecutive games? You have to go really back to find the last time they accomplished that.
No, I agree, Lance. I mean, I think this team has swagger. I think they're doing a good job of trying to run the ball and punching them out. The only thing I will say is this defense needs to get together in the first half. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I had like eight heart attacks. watching the Giants, try and stop them from scoring. Because let's face it, if those scores were touchdowns, not field goals, I don't think that this game is
well,
ours.
Nick, yeah, I got a question. I got a couple tweets from a Nicholas on Twitter in the first half giving up
me.
And saying he was turning. That was you?
That was me.
Let me ask you, did you ever turn off the TV or did you stick with it?
No, I actually almost lost my voice because I was screaming so much at the TV.
Yeah, Nick, about halfway through the first quarter, I believe it was, this defense stinks, this game's over, they have no chance. I believe that was the summary of the tweets. Is that fair, Nick?
That's fair because if you look at it, there were not
going
to be any faith that, that there was no faith that they were going to come back. You know, it just seems like the first half, they can't get together, and for some reason, second half, it's like two different, defenses.
Hey,
I don't know what it is, but
the thing about
they
got
to stop that.
Yeah, Perryfield's gotten some heat in the past for not making good adjustments at halftime. I thought his halftime adjustments in that game yesterday were fantastic.
Yeah, I have to agree. And the last thing I'm going to say is, I think the offense is playing pretty good. I think it could be better. If they got stuck coming from behind to win these games, they could just like coast with the lead a little bit.
That'd be nice.
Not feel so pressured. And the last thing to say is, as a football fan, I'm excited for this weekend. As a Giants fan, you're nervous because it's the Eagles. And let's face it, if we win this game, we definitely control the division with beating the Eagles and then beating Washington.
Well, they'll be in good shape, 2-0 in the division. Then they got to take on Dallas the next week. So these next two games will certainly decide who's in control of their own destiny around midseason. Thanks for the call, Nick. Appreciate it.
All right, Nick, appreciate it. One of the things that Nick alluded to, you know, getting off to a fast start, something that we haven't necessarily addressed. If you recall, last week against the Redskins was the first time this season the Giants actually scored in the first quarter. They did that again against Atlanta yesterday. That's something you'd like to see. Strong start so that you don't have to play catch up. And, you know, they were down by 10 in the second half yesterday, and luckily the defense really came to play, worked out the kinks, and the offense took advantage of getting the football back. Two key three and outs that they forced, we should mention, late in the game, John. That, to me, was a huge difference maker. Even when the Giants went up 24-20, they still had to make a defensive stop, and that was the drive that ended with Jonathan Hankins getting that sack for the loss of 11 yards.
And then on, I believe it was a seven-point game at that point, the Falcons had that fourth and three, decided to go for it in their own territory, and they couldn't make it. Yeah, that was the big Hankins sack on the fourth and one on their own 21-yard line, and they sack him for a 9-yard loss on a fourth and one. So certainly a couple big plays by the defense. Like we said, they played a lot better in the second half, and they made plays when they had to at the end. They got the Falcons off the field, something this defense had struggles with earlier in the year, so I think you are seeing improvement there. Russ from Kentucky, you're up next at 201-939-4513. Russ, you're on Big Blue Kickoff Live with John Schmuck and Lance Meadow. How are you?
Hey, what's going on? Yeah, I'm back from Kuwait, man. What's going on? Well, it's been a minute since I talked to y'all.
Well, Russ, welcome back. Thanks for your service.
Appreciate
what do you
that.
Got for us today?
All right, let me ask you something, because I was watching ESPN First Take. When do you grade the Philadelphia Eagles, the New York Giants, and the Dallas Cowboys? I want to see what y'all say right now.
What do you mean? Rank them? Grade them? What are you looking for?
Rank them at starting off right now. I know Philly's 4-1, Cowboys are 4-1, Giants are 3-2. What do you grade, like, who's going to – prediction, who's going to win? You know what I'm saying? Who's going to win?
Russ, you know what? It's funny. I have question marks about all three teams right now. I'm really trying to figure out what all three teams are, to be honest with you. I think the Eagles have been very fortunate the last few weeks. They've gotten a lot of special teams touchdowns, a lot of return touchdowns, a couple of defensive touchdowns. Their offensive line is a mess. They have their two starting tackles and Harriman's in there now, but they're missing Mathis. They're missing Kelsey, two of their interior offensive linemen. LeSean McCoy doesn't look like the same guy. I think the Philly defense is extremely vulnerable, so I think the Eagles have some problems. I think they've been very lucky to win some of these games early in the year. As for the Cowboys, I think they have one of the most balanced offenses in the league. They run it. They pass it. Dez Bryant, DeMarco Murray, a great offensive line. Their offense is going to be really tough to deal with. But
all right.
Their defense...
Now I got to stop you now.
But hold on. Their defense, on the other hand, has some holes. They don't have a lot of talent. They have no pass rushers. Their secondary is vulnerable. So I think all these teams have some flaws. The Giants, their offense still, I don't think, is at the level of Dallas or maybe even Philly. They're probably closer to that. But the Giants have a much better defense than both those teams. So I think these teams are still trying to figure out exactly who everybody is.
All right. Now, because I was on Facebook arguing with a bunch of Cowboys fans. Now, listen, Cowboys are 4-1. You know DeMarco Murray's on pace for getting 400 touches?
Well, he's had over 100 yards in each of the first five
games. No, but I think Russ's point is that there's no way he can maintain this workload over a season, and I think that's fair. Yeah. They would be very wise to give Lance Dunbar and Joseph Randle more carries down there. You're right. He will not last a full year if he's getting 25, 30 carries a game.
However, in defense of Russ, and I'll let you continue, I could say the same thing, though, with the Giants about Rashad Jennings. You can't keep giving him 35 carries a game because he doesn't have the durability that he's shown over
the course of his career. Maybe we saw that happen this week.
Correct.
But I also think Andre Williams is a better player than Joseph Randle.
Well, that's fair. I mean, no argument there. But I think everybody, no matter what team you have, it's very difficult in this day and age to rely on one running back to handle the ball 25 to 30 times.
Now here's the key. Now, here's the kicker. Who have the Cowboys played this year?
They beat the New Orleans Saints. They lost to the San Francisco 49ers. They beat the Rams.
And they just beat the Titans
Rams,
and the Texans.
Backup quarterback. Come on, let's keep going. They ain't played nobody.
But Russ, here's the thing, and I had this argument with Dave, I believe, on Twitter. If you want to give credit to the Giants for the victories of the teams they went up against, you can't do that. It is way too early to start ranking teams because I have no idea how these teams are going to end up. For example, the Texans last year were 2-0, and then they lost their last 14 games. So for us to sit here and say this is a quality win, this is a bad win, it's too premature.
Well,
we're five games into the season.
And another thing, the Cowboys had to play the Texans with Arian Foster. The Giants did not have to play the Texans with Arian Foster. The Giants got a backup quarterback when they played the Cardinals. The Giants got a backup quarterback when they played the Redskins. So all these teams, like I said, we're still trying to figure out who they are here. I don't think we know exactly which team is the best in the division. I think the Cowboys probably right now is the best offense. I know the Giants probably have the best defense. But I think both sides of the ball, the other way around, I think you're still trying to figure out who these teams are right now.
I don't believe the Cowboys have a good offense. I believe this
The Cowboys don't have a good offense, Russ.
Timeout, Russ.
Hold on a second. Why do the Cowboys not have a good offense? I want to go one by one here. Do they have a good offensive line?
Yes, they do. They have a pretty good offensive line.
Okay. Is DeMarco Murray a very good running back?
Yes, he is.
Do you like their wide receiver and tight ends?
I like Dez Bryant.
You don't like Jason Witten?
Not really. He's an injury prone.
Whoa, time out. Jason Witten has missed one game in 10 years. In 10 years, Russ. How is he injury prone?
You'll see. He's injury prone to me. This is the same Cowboys from last year, 8-8. I'm telling you, this is a smoke and mirrors. I'm watching it happen. I'm laughing like,
Russ,
they're not going to do nothing.
Russ, why were the Cowboys 8-8 last year?
They suck.
Because he's going to choke. Russ,
here's the thing. Listen, we could sit here and debate the Cowboys all we want. What's the point you're trying to
make?
Point. We're ranking all the teams here. What are you trying to say? The Giants are far ahead of everybody else? I mean, what's the point here?
Yes, what I'm trying to say. The Giants are far ahead of everybody else.
Well, but why?
Better defense, a better offense. That game yesterday proved the point that the Giants are back. I mean, not saying they back, but they can win a game.
Well, but I thought they were going to lose to Atlanta.
Julio Jones is killing us. When they came back in the second half, that showed me something.
Okay. Well, Russ, listen, appreciate the phone call. I don't think anybody's going to argue the fact that the Giants' offense hasn't come along and they've shown consistency over the last few weeks.
So much better.
Nobody's going to argue that.
No
but
question.
To say that this is the most dominant team in the NFC East, I would not go that far. To generalize, and John was alluding to a lot of these points, every team to me has defensive issues. The Cowboys have defensive issues. The Redskins certainly have defensive issues. The Eagles don't have a lockdown D, and the Giants do not have a lockdown D. So everybody can score in this division, but you don't necessarily have confidence that everybody can make the stop when they need it the most. That's the best way to generalize this division, at least right now, after just 5 years.
Though I think the Giants' defense probably has more overall talent than anybody else in the division. And while they've given
especially
up some big plays,
in the secondary.
I think they probably have more talented players. Honestly, look at the Eagles and the Cowboys. I mean, the Giants' defensive line is far better than those units. I mean, who do the Eagles and Cowboys have in their defensive lines?
I'm trying to tell y'all. That's what I'm saying. Look, if you look at it, I know it's only been five games, but look at it in the long run. The Cowboys are about to play Seattle. We're going to see how good the Cowboys are. They're not going to win that game.
We're going to see how good the Giants are, too, because they're going to get the Eagles and the Cowboys. That's why I'm saying, Russ, it's so early to start to crown anybody.
Yeah, Russ, you know what? I have a good idea. Do me a favor. In 2 weeks, after the Giants play Philly and Dallas, call back and let's talk about it. How about that? All right, appreciate the call.
Appreciate the call.
Hopefully you heard that. So call back in 2 weeks, and then we can figure things out.
We're going to see the Giants play all three division contenders. Dallas hasn't played anybody from the division yet. Right. Washington played Philadelphia. So, you know, we haven't really seen each of these teams beat each other.
Honestly,
up
if I had
point.
To break it down, I mean, I think I'm not going to say the Redskins don't have a chance. How about this? I'll give the Redskins right now a 10% chance of winning the division. I'll give Dallas 30. I'll give Philly 30. I'll give the Giants 30. How about that?
Yeah, I would say that's a fair synopsis.
How about that?
I think it's a three-team race. I think Washington be very pressing for them to win. They've got the offensive firepower, but Kirk Cousins is still up and down, and their defense, you know, part of it is because of injuries, has just been very up and down. In terms of Dallas, the Cowboys have just as good of an offensive line, if not better, than the Giants right now.
Dallas is as good of an offensive line as anybody in the league right
Dallas
now.
Dallas has three 23-year-olds who they've invested
all
in.
First-round picks.
And they've played a tremendous job. That's a big reason why DeMarco Murray has over 100 yards.
But their defense is better than it was last year, but they still almost gave up 200 yards
Absolutely.
To Arian Foster. Yeah. You know, they lost Morris Claiborne for the year. They got all sorts of problems. So
big issues.
It's way too early to start, you know, making these comparisons. They haven't even played each other yet. So let's talk in 2 weeks, and then we'll figure it out. 201-939-4513. But I'm sorry. I don't mean to get upset, but I can't let that Jason Witten's injury-prone thing get by. He's missed one game in a 10-year career.
He's played through injuries,
he is the
if anything.
Opposite yeah. of injury-prone.
He
anyway.
Has not been a guy that's been that
Just,
banged up.
You have to get the facts. Eric from North Dakota. Eric, you're up next. What's going on, pal?
Good morning, Lance. Good morning, John. How you all doing?
Eric, we're doing great. Good to hear from you, man. It's been a while.
Yeah, it's been a while. How about those Giants?
Yeah, man. Playing some good football. I like it. Again, and I don't know if Russ, you know, tried to turn us into negative people here. I thought that was the best win of the whole year yesterday. I thought the Giants played good football, especially in the second half.
Yeah, I hear you, man. I was kind of concerned in the first half. I was like, what's going on? I was literally almost about to cry out. I was like, come on, man. All these Giants could do better than that. But it was kind of two concerns. The two timeouts that they call within 20 seconds? I mean, is that kind of a concern?
Well, I'm not sure they called timeouts within 20 seconds of one another, but there were a couple plays where Eli did not get the play in quick enough to snap the football, which hasn't been as big of a problem this year. I think they've gotten better on it. And on the one play, Howard Cross actually made a good point from the sideline. The play before one of those timeouts when the play clock was running down, there was a big pileup on a third and short, I think it was, or something like that, and it took the referees a while to get everybody off the pile, so they didn't even really run the clock and get the people up to snap the football until like 15 seconds on the play clock. So that was one of the reasons they had the issue in that one circumstance.
And my other one is right here about this. What's your chances on like those two games, the Eagles and the Cowboys? Do you think they'll win those two games or one at one?
I mean, I think playing games on the road in your division is tough. I think if you probably talk to the odds makers and probabilities, you'd say odds are they'll probably split the two. But I think the Giants are more than capable of beating either one of those teams on the road, just like I think either one of those teams are more than capable of beating the Giants. I think, frankly, I think all those teams are very close. We said it before the season, guys. The NFC East is pretty even. A lot of these teams, all have strengths. They all have weaknesses. I think it's going to be whoever makes the most plays, or maybe even better, whoever makes the fewest mistakes is the team that's going to win those games.
All righty. You guys are doing a good job. Everything, I'll keep call you later.
All right, Eric. Appreciate the phone call.
Check off North Dakota on what states we've gotten calls from.
Well, we've had a wide variety of states represented on this program, and it's increased since we moved the time of the show.
I've gone to Hawaii. I've not gone to Alaska yet.
So that's on your bucket list now.
I don't know if it's a bucket
list.
Well,
apparently
but I'd like
you're
to
very
get a
energetic
call from Alaska.
About this. I didn't even know you were keeping close tabs on this, so. I give you a lot of credit.
I mean, I don't
Do you have a document
no,
on
I
the
don't.
Computer
I,
there?
Because
I know you got a lot of other things that keep
well,
those tabs.
I know one state we've gotten a lot of calls from is New Jersey, and Andre joins us from there now.
What a
Andre,
segue.
What's going
what a
on,
segue,
pal? How
Andre.
Are you?
How are we doing,
I'm doing great, guys. Thanks for having me.
Good to hear from you, Andre. What's going on?
Not much. I am an avid Giants fan, and I'm glad to see that they're on the winning ways. Actually, I went to home opener, and I was disappointed in that performance, but I'm glad to see that they actually turned everything around here.
No question.
Yes, and my main thing is since I do live right here in Philadelphia, but I work in West Deptford, I get to see the Eagles a lot. And my thing is, to me, if we just go about just calling like fair catch in all predicaments, we'll stop the Eagles from winning because they're optimists. I mean, if you look at it anyway, at the league average, I mean, I don't see anyone really – getting it past the 20-yard anyway. So what's the point?
Now, Andre, you're right. The Eagles have made their living the last few weeks on either making special teams plays themselves or taking advantage of other teams' special teams' mistakes. So if the Giants can come out next week and play mistake-free football, I think they got a damn good chance of beating Philadelphia considering the way they've struggled on defense the last couple of weeks. And frankly, with their offensive line banged up, their offense hasn't been great the last couple of weeks either. I think Philly's vulnerable. I think they're a team that can be beat this week while those two offensive linemen are hurt and their defense is still struggling.
Yeah, and I hope to see Beckham try. If we do do the punt, well, at least have Beckham out there. Parker, he's not the answer. I mean, he coughed it up in the Arizona game, and that cost us.
Well,
and
that was Quinton Demps, in fairness. Parker had the fumble in the last game against the Falcons.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you're correct.
I mean, and you're right. Mm-hmm. Listen, Beckham, I think, is going to be more of a game changer in the long run, but I think Parker's done more than enough to at least fill the void in the meantime.
Though, I get what Andre is saying, though. He hasn't caught a couple punts he should have caught. He has been a little shaky in decision-making and ball control. So I get wanting to try to start to slide Beckham in there. I get it.
You do want to make that transition, but I think to say that Parker hasn't done enough or has been very shaky, I don't know if that's a fair narrative because the blocking hasn't been ideal as well.
Well, frankly, Parker's been good as a wide receiver.
Correct,
he's caught
some
passes. He's actually been a very good blocker as a wide receiver as well. So, Andre, I think you'll see Beckham more and more the next couple of weeks, and frankly, he could be a difference maker against Philly and Dallas.
Yeah, absolutely. I definitely hope so. Thanks for having me, guys.
Andre, thanks for calling,
Andre.
Man. We appreciate it. And special teams was key because they didn't do a good job controlling Hester. You had the one mistake on special teams, which you have to clean up. But, you know, you mentioned earlier in the show, Lance, it's turnovers. Philly has won because they keep getting turnovers. The Giants have won because they've stopped turning it over the last 3 weeks. I mean, Eli the last three games has one interception, and that one interception wasn't even his fault because Reuben Randle probably should have held on to that ball in the end zone, and some people didn't even like the call, thought it should have been a touchdown. So when your quarterback throws one pick in three games, guess what? Odds are you're probably going to win.
just going
it's
back.
That simple.
Well, listen, you protect the football, you're not giving gifts. And they were giving gifts. It was the season of giving earlier this year. Now it's not the season of giving.
Way
There's
too
a
early.
Big difference.
Yes.
Just real quickly, I wanted to piggyback off of Andre's point and a number of other callers who have weighed in about the Eagles and what they've relied on. And right. we're going to preview the Eagles more tomorrow, but we can look at least a little ahead. The Niners game, which was 2 weeks ago, these were Philly's touchdowns. They had a block punt. They had a Malcolm Jenkins 53-yard interception return, and then Darren Sproles returned the punt for 82 yards. That's how they accounted for their 21 points. The offense was not responsible for any of their points in the San Francisco 49ers game. Now you look at yesterday's Rams game. I think the offense played much better against a different St. Louis defense. However, with that being said, one of their scores was also off a block punt again.
Yeah.
So the Eagles' special teams defense was opportunistic again. They had a block punt return to start the game, and then later on, if memory serves me correct,
a fumble return for a touchdown.
Had a fumble
Cedric
return
Ford.
As well. So you got two touchdowns as a result of your defense and your special teams in back-to-back weeks.
And that's why I think the Eagles are vulnerable, because there's no way you can keep that type of pace up with return touchdowns. You just can't do it. I don't care how good you are. You can't do it. It's not going to keep going that way.
So if you eliminate that from the table, that's 14 points this week, 21 the previous week. If the Giants' defense could hold its own against the Philly offense and special teams of defense doesn't become opportunistic, you know, that game could certainly play into the hands of the Giants. I think it's important when you evaluate a team, John, you have to look at trends. Early in the season, Philadelphia's offense looked like it was a juggernaut. Everything was clicking. The Jaguars had no answer after losing that big lead. And the same thing can be said with the Indianapolis Colts. I know there were a few questionable calls in that game. Now the offense has come back down to earth. A couple of defenses are getting a better feel for this, so they're relying on defense and special teams. If you have a good defense, you can contain Philly's offense. You know, that, to me, plays right into your hands.
And quite frankly, to me, the key to beating Philly is preventing the big play. Chip Kelly lives and dies with the big play on offense, whether it comes from Darren Sproles or LeSean McCoy or Jeremy Maclin or Zach Ertz, Riley Cooper. Go down the list. Philly wants to make the big play on offense. If you can prevent the big play, make them sustain drives, guess what? Odds are you're probably going to win the football game. Not to mention, put some pressure on Nick Foles, and he struggles when guys hit him, just like all quarterbacks
well,
do.
He's not throwing for 27 touchdowns and two interceptions this season. I'll tell you that. He wasn't going to repeat that.
And by the way, a great point by Ben. I'm going to butcher your last name, dude. I'm sorry. Koviu, something like
well,
that?
Well, he sends in tweets all the time. Exactly. He's a regular.
No, he's a regular. I just don't know how to pronounce his
last
name.
Well, what's his Twitter handle? Why don't you give him some credit that
way? @Ben_Koviu.
Okay. Well, you spell it, too. C-O-V- you want to pat him on the back?
Goodness. C-O-V-E-Y-O-U.
It's a natural thing to do.
All right, M-E-D-O-W.
Okay, thank you.
All right. He makes a good point. Next two games are vital. They're in the division. But the next six will really determine how good the Giants are, because you're going to get tested. Eagles and Cowboys on the road, bye week. Colts here at Seattle. Niners here, Cowboys here. That's it. I mean, you're going to know what this Giant team is after those six games.
Well, and we're also going to have a better read on the opponents. We're going to have a better read on Philly, a better read on Dallas, a better read on San Francisco and Indy. San Francisco's been very erratical to start this season. Seattle, too. I mean, the Seahawks have looked good, don't get me wrong. But Seattle also had a very rough performance stopping Peyton Manning and company. Yes, I know it's Peyton Manning. It may not be the best example, but I would argue their secondary has been a bit vulnerable this season compared to last year. So that's why you need to see a resume before we get a better read on these teams.
201-939-4513. Let's go back to the calls and say hello to Drew in Virginia. Drew, what's going on, pal?
Hey, guys. Good morning. How you guys doing?
What's going on, Drew?
Doing well, Drew. How about yourself?
Great, great, great. Hey, man, good game. I didn't see the game yesterday. It was, you know, blacked out here. As a matter of fact, it was funny because Fox TV here, we normally get a football game. We didn't get anything. I guess they still mad because we smacked the Redskins around.
Well, wait a minute. I'm a little confused, though, Drew, because the Redskins play tonight, and I'm thinking, well, Baltimore would be the other team you pick up in that region?
Exactly.
So the Ravens played the Colts yesterday. That was a 1 o'clock game, so I guess
that
conflicted with the Giants.
Correct.
Okay.
That's right.
Yeah.
Right. That was on. No, but no, that because we get two times. Okay, here in Virginia. I'm in Southern Virginia, but you know we get the Ravens, as you said. That's usually on Channel 3 CBS, and we normally get a Fox game as well too. We normally get two games.
Is it the Redskins you usually get or no? You the Redskins every week? Do you get them or no?
Yeah, we get the Redskins every week. That's what I'm saying. We get the Redskins every week. The Ravens sound here sometimes, which is weird, is debatable. We don't always get the Ravens.
Interesting.
But we definitely get the Redskins. Like I said, that's typically two games. CBS, we get an AFC game, obviously, and then Fox, we get an NFC game yesterday. Yesterday, all we got was just the Ravens on CBS and nothing on Fox.
And
until
that's
later
Channel
on.
3, Drew, in case our viewers and our listeners just want to know their channel guide. Okay.
Yes,
no, I just wanted to set the table. Okay.
Yes, you're right. I'm sorry. Yes.
No, don't apologize, Drew. I just want to make sure the Baltimore, Virginia region knows that CBS is Channel 3. That's all. Continue.
Yes. Right. At any rate, man, you guys made a good point because I feel like we can. I honestly do feel, and you know, I'm very cautious, but I honestly do feel we can beat the Eagles if we play mistake free ball. And the key is obviously we have to play mistake free ball. The only thing that do really concern me is our defense. We didn't have a great game yesterday. We played a lot better in the second half. And to be honest, I was like the other caller. Honestly, man, it was looking like this was going to be a loss for the Giants the way they was playing in the first half. And then they started off in the second half. But then the game completely turned around, and so kudos to the Giants, and it was a great game and everything. I got a question, though, man.
Yeah.
I'm going to just take your answer off the air, or you just answer this, man. You know, everybody was talking about Dallas and this and that. First and foremost, I'm going to say this. Russ was way off base with regards to Dallas and the other NFC teams. You got to get those guys credit, okay? And Dallas, right now, I have to agree, Dallas is looking pretty dangerous.
Yeah,
right
Drew, here's the thing, and I got a lot of people giving me heat on Twitter. Oh, John's defending Dallas and Philadelphia. You're Giants fans. You just say those two teams stink and move on. That's not our job here, folks, to be Giant fans, all right? Because do you know what?
Exactly.
Because do you know what Eagles and Cowboy fans are saying right now? Well, hold on a second. The Giants beat the Falcons on the road with no offensive line. They beat the Texans without Alfred Morris, and they beat Kirk Cousins when he turned it over six times. So that's what those fans are saying about the Giants. That's not fair either. You got to give the Giants credit for what they've done, but we're trying to be balanced here and take a look at the NFL as a whole and where the Giants fit in. That's what we're trying to do.
Well, we're not going to tell you the Giants are going to win the division just so it sounds nice.
Yeah.
Right. Well, the thing of it, first and foremost, I agree because I tell people all the time, first and foremost, I'm a sports fan first. A team fan second. Point being is I always look at sports, you know, with an open eye, and you got to give them other teams credit.
Right.
So again, you know, Russ was way off base. You got to give the other teams credit, and you can't take things for granted. That said, man, I ain't gonna take your answer off the air. What do you think about the defenses? Let me put it this way. I feel like our defense, the Giants defense, was built to challenge the likes of the Eagles and the Cowboys.
Absolutely.
Okay. But I feel like we still have some holes there. But this team is coming together. What do you feel about the Eagles' defense? And I'll take that answer off the air. Compared to the Giants and how they stack up against each other.
Well, honestly, I got to be honest, and I'm gonna throw the Cowboys into the mix too here, just because I think both the defenses have the same problem. To be quite honest with you, I don't think either team stops the run particularly well. Neither team has a premier pass rusher that can really put the pressure on the opposing defense, on the opposing offense, rather, to, you know, rush things. In order to get pressure, both teams have to blitz, which can be very dangerous, with two secondaries that I think are okay at corner, but both are very weak at the safety position. Barry Church is good against the run, not a good pass defender. I don't like the Eagles' safeties at all.
However, with that being said, I think Malcolm Jenkins, though, was one of their best free agent signings.
That's
He's
correct.
Been a very good playmaker so far.
He has. And you're right. I forgot about Jenkins. It's a great point. But their second safety, I can't.
Nate Allen.
Thank you. He's been in and out of their starting lineup the last couple of years.
Right.
He can't even hold a starting spot. So I think those two defenses are very vulnerable. I think they can be had for big plays. But frankly, and this is why it might be very bad if they lose Rashad Jennings. We'll see again. No word yet on the MRI. I think the Giants can dominate on the ground the next 2 weeks. I mean, the Cowboys got torn up by Arian Foster on Sunday. The Eagles have never been a great defense against the run. I think they can really punish them with the run game the next 2 weeks and keep those two explosive offenses off the field.
Frank Gore had a very good game against Philly two Sundays ago. And even the Rams ran the ball fairly well yesterday. I mean, they split carries between Cunningham and Stacey. But if you look at the numbers, they had good yardage per carry. So I think they are vulnerable, like Dallas against the run. And if the Giants continue to go with what works, which is give Eli time and run the football. I mean, just because Rashad Jennings may not play, and we're right now speculating, we're going to get an injury report a little bit later Tuesday.
That's why you have Andre Williams
and
Payne Hillis.
Even if Jennings can't play, that doesn't mean if you're the Giants, you say, oh, Jennings is not here, we don't run the football
anymore.
Pound the ball. You just have Payton Hillis pick up more of the slack. Andre Williams, you give him 15 to 18 carries. Everybody else has to step up. You kept Payton Hillis on this team, at least Mike Farmer will tell us that, one of our loyal listeners and viewers, because he's going to serve a role for you. So now you don't just abandon these guys.
No question. I want to touch on a couple more things on Twitter. Carly Martinez at the C-Notes, who gives us always some good numbers and stats on Twitter, has a couple good ones. From Pro Football Focus, first of all, over the last four games and 141 pass attempts, the Giants' pass protection has allowed only four sacks, zero quarterback hits, and 20 quarterback hurries. So that's fantastic. Another number. This is over the last three games on third downs. Giants' opponents are only 5 of 33 on third downs of 7 or more yards, 2 of 22, and of 9 or more yards, 1 of 15. We talked about how the third down defense has been really good. There you go. 201,
those
939.
Numbers are telling stats.
No question.
By
4513.
I think your good friend Ben on Twitter has clarified the pronunciation of his last name.
What we got?
So I don't know if you want to redeem yourself on this program.
Cuvio. Right? Is that what
now,
it looks like?
Or is it Cuvio?
It could be Cuvio.
So maybe we blame Ben for not clarifying.
You know what?
He says it's French-Canadian. Nobody gets it.
Well, if it's, you know, I think the way he spelled it, it actually should be Cuvio, but if it's French-Canadian, I'm thinking Cuvio.
Now, I would break it down phonetically, Ben. I would have done C-U-H-V to say Cuv and then E-O if we're going to be nitpicky here. Continue. Do not want to interrupt the flow of the program.
Are you ready?
Who we got next on the phone lines?
201-939-4513. Don is out in California. Don, what's going on?
Hey, how's it going, guys? Hey, thanks for taking my call. This is the second time I've been able to get on.
Thanks for calling in, Don. What's up?
Wow. You know, something that let's start with the defense. The defense is not bad. And that secondary, we just need a little bit of work on that secondary. But that front seven, and you know, the linebackers, they're not bad. If we get Beeson back, that's a little, you know, more help. But and then let's get to the offense. If like you guys said, hey, we don't turn this ball over, we can beat anybody. And the scary thing is that offensive line is gonna get better. It's gonna get better. And at first I was thinking, man, what's, you know, the first game, you know, preseason in that first game, I'm thinking, oh, boy, we're in trouble. But that offensive line, if he gets time, Eli is one of the best quarterbacks in the league.
If that guy
gets time, he can pick any offensive part. I mean, defensive part. So we're on the right track here. And I'll tell you something else. You guys are right on, and the calls are right on with Philly. And I'm out here on the West Coast, so I'm watching West Coast games. So I'm watching the Dallas game yesterday, and I'll tell you something. And I watched it last week. The Dallas, all we got to do is stop. If we make them one-dimensional, we can win the game. And all you have to do is stop their running game and let Romo, because he's going to make a mistake, and he almost made a mistake yesterday. If the guy would have turned around, that would have been a pick.
I'll tell you what,
he had to do was turn around, and he would have had to pick.
He threw
it off his feet, he was throwing while he was falling.
It was a prayer. It was a prayer of a throw, no question. Des Bryant bailed him out.
Anyway, wow. All Giant fans, we should be really encouraged about what we're seeing here, because I think it's going to get better. All we have to do is just give Eli some time. And that running game, it's going to be okay. The running game's going to be okay, even if we don't have Jennings in there. Williams, he's capable, and so is Hillis. We just Give Eli some time. He's getting his weapons. He's starting to see. You know, with this Odell Beckham back, that's all we need is no double coverage. They don't double coverage us. He can pick any defensive part. The guy is not bad. I wish everybody get off this guy's back.
Well, Don, in fairness, he hasn't played in a game yet, so I understand why people are getting a little frustrated. The guy hasn't played in a game yet. But now that he's on the field, I think people see why the Giants used a first-round pick on him.
Yeah, yeah. I was thinking why get off of Eli's back
because I think Eli's
the key.
Yeah, no question.
Yeah. Well, he has talent around him.
Thanks a lot for taking my
call.
Don. Wow, go Giants.
All right, appreciate the phone call.
It looks good.
And, Lance, I'd love to get your opinion on this. If you were to pinpoint one thing on offense and one thing on defense that you're worried about, and I'll give you mine first. I'll give you a second to think about it. My one thing on offense that I think I'm worried about is still the guys making the plays they have to make when they take Cruz out of the game. And I like what I saw out of Beckham. He's still only a rookie. Reuben Randall, to me, still doesn't get the job done at a high enough rate. We saw Larry Donnell get taken away when guys were physical with him this week. So, to me, it's the playmaking aspect of it. You know, the Giants still haven't made a ton of big plays this year. The big play came on a slant and a run after the catch. You know, Preston Parker this week was a blown coverage. I haven't seen many instances where the Giants receivers beat another team's DBs one-on-one deep down the field. You make a play and you score a touchdown. That's my one offensive thing I get worried about. My defensive thing I worry about is still, it's in the secondary. And it's not that the guys aren't good enough and the Giants' corners can't cover and they're not fast enough, they're not good enough cover guys, but there's too many instances when they're playing either a zone defense or even a man-to-man where somebody gets lost in their assignment, they're not in the right place at the right time, and they allow the big play. And we've seen that too many times this year. And if I had to pick out two things that are my worries, that would be it. And my 2B on defense would probably be not getting enough pass pressure with just the front four. Those would be my only worries right now. Otherwise, I'm pretty happy with the direction this team's heading in.
Well, on defense, I'll start with, I'm going to say the linebackers is more of a concern.
Okay.
Now, Jaquan Williams played a better game, but it's been a good game, a mediocre game, good game. It's been very up and down. Now, John Beeson's been out of the lineup, so that should solve it. But I think a lot of the linebackers sometimes have been out of position, and that's led to the running backs getting to the second layer of the Giants' defense, missed tackles, and so forth.
And yesterday, we saw the linebackers, I thought, play a bad first half. I thought they played better in the second half, and that was a big one of the reasons for the turnaround.
And that gets back to the consistency. Mm-hmm. You don't want it to be a tale of two halves.
100%.
You want it for a full half. For the offense, I pretty much agree with you. You can't criticize the Giants' running game. I think that's shown consistency.
Or the offensive line.
So, therefore, the one thing you turn to is the weapons in the receiving core around Eli Manning. And yesterday we got our first taste of, okay, Larry Donnell coming back down to earth a little, not because he can't make plays, because the defense is now saying, oh, Larry, okay, you're a known commodity all of a sudden. We're going to give you attention. So we're more aggressive with you at the line of scrimmage. Now you have to adjust. Victor Cruz, who's seen his fair share of double teams dating back to last season, now he's still seeing attention. He needs to adjust. So what does that mean? Okay, Odell Beckham, first game, 4 catches, 44 yards. Next game, Odell Beckham has to make 4 catches for 44 yards or something in that barometer. Preston Parker still needs to make plays. Reuben Randall can't have a game I'm going to take off and a game I'm going to shine. So they need to have more consistency out of that threesome. They get that, then you're not going to worry about Donnell, you know, not being Larry Donnell for 1 week or Victor Cruz, because you're going to say to yourself, hey, there's enough weapons on this team that one could pick up the slack. And the team that I'll use as a parallel, John, you were naming the Eagles. The one thing about Philadelphia, criticize the offense all you want. They rely too much on defense and special teams. If Zach Ertz is taken out of the game, if I'm Nick Foles, okay, well, I have Darren Sproles, I have LeSean McCoy, I have Jordan Matthews, I have Riley Cooper, I have Jeremy Maclin. The list goes on and on. Pick your poison. That's what it comes down to. The Giants have enough personnel to get to the point where you could say pick your poison. The talent level hasn't met that yet.
And I'll tell
you,
that's
the problem.
And I'll tell you one thing, too, to add to that on offense. If Jennings does miss the next couple games, that's a huge security blanket for Eli Manning. Now, Andre Williams caught a couple passes this week. That's great. But he's not as accomplished or reliable as a wide receiver as Jennings is.
And that's why you want to see Andre Williams get more playing time now earlier in his career.
Yeah.
So, number one, it builds confidence for him. And the other thing that we haven't touched on, how about Andre Williams getting 2 receptions yesterday?
I know.
That's also a step in the right direction.
All right, we got 2 calls. We got about 5 or 6 minutes. Let's get them in. Stas from Washington is up first. Stas, what's up?
Hey, what's up, guys? How are you guys
doing? What's going on, Stas?
Well, Stas.
Great win for Big Blue. So quick statement, and I want you guys to think of, as I'm making this statement, I want you to think of our offensive line last year, okay? Don't kill me for this. Let me explain it.
Sure.
I feel the Giants' defense played poorly in the first half, not because of their play, but how the defense was being called.
Explain.
They looked like they were playing scared. Everything was a 10-yard cushion on everybody. They only put their front four pressure. This was this is an inexperienced, damaged offensive line. And they gave Matt Ryan, they gave that line too much respect. They gave the receivers so much respect
that
it allowed them to chew up the field.
Hold on
Julio
one second.
Julio Jones didn't only caught one pass on a post. Everything else was a slant or a comeback route in the middle.
No, Stas, I hear you, but I want to do the counter argument here. Because on Friday, I sat here on the show and I said, if I'm Perry Fuel, the Falcons' offensive line is so banged up, I'm going to play coverage, not let the Falcons beat me over the top, and get pressure with my front four. So I can't go back now and criticize Perry Fuel for his game plan, because he basically did what I thought they should have done. Now, it didn't work. What you should do is give credit to Perry Fuel for going in at halftime and making the adjustments he had to make to get the defense better in the second half. Because, frankly, going into this game, Stas, didn't you think the Giants should be able to get pressure with just their front four?
I thought that going into this game, you should take away the person you needed to take out of this game was not Julio, was not Roddy White, was Matt Ryan, and they gave him too much time. If you look at how teams played us last year when we had a decimated offense, it wasn't their front four. They were sending the zoo. There were so many A-gap blitzes coming at us every single down that Eli Manning was throwing these crazy passes, interception. They gave him so much respect. We paid DRC to man up on this guy. That's why we paid this money. That's why we picked up Prince his extra year. We paid so that we should have, and if you look at what we did in the second half, was exactly that. We manned up on him. We made him earn it. And what happened? How many passes did Matt Ryan throw away because he had no time? He didn't throw a lot of interceptions, only the one. But how many did he just throw away because the pressure was there? And that was because we were sending more blitzes at him.
Stas, in retrospect, you ended up being 100% correct.
Oh, wow.
No argument. The bottom line is more pressure on Matt Ryan.
All right, Stas, appreciate the call, man. Hey, look, going into the game, I thought I would have done exactly what Perry Fuel did. I would have said, don't let Julio Jones beat you with the big play. Get pressure with your front four because the Falcons' offensive line is banged up, and play coverage. That's what I would have done. And you know what the old saying is, against good veteran quarterbacks, you play coverage. Against young quarterbacks that are inexperienced, you send the blitz. I thought the biggest recipe for disaster this week against the Falcons was trying to bring too much pressure, and then you got Julio Jones and Roddy White running all over the place with one-on-one coverage. That, to me, is a recipe for disaster.
And to me,
no one's covering Julio Jones one-on-one. I don't care who it is.
Of course not, and you want to keep Julio Jones in front of you as opposed to letting him get behind you. So,
and despite all his catches, by the way, he had 11, but it took 16 targets, and his average yards per catch is only 9.5 yards. So I'd say that's pretty good.
Well, they prevented the big play. His biggest catch was 22 yards.
On that deep out early
on.
Correct,
and remember, the big stat, and I threw this out on the pregame show, Matt Ryan, number one in the NFL entering this weekend, 21 completions of 20 or more yards. So you look at what the numbers showed on Sunday, they didn't allow Matt Ryan to get 25 completions for 20 or more yards or increase that total.
Not to mention the fact that they're one of the best third down teams in the league coming in. And the Giants shut them down. Was it 2 of 13 for the game?
2 of 13 on third down, yeah.
They shut them down. So can't complain too much. All right.
And one thing I just want to say about Stas's point, and you're right, in retrospect, hey, you bring the press throughout the game, probably you fluster Matt Ryan. However, you think Mike Smith and Mike Tice, their offensive line coach, was entering this game thinking that the Giants weren't going to all of a sudden bring the dogs to Matt Ryan? I mean, you figure, hey, we got a banged up offensive line. Perry Fuel is going to try to eat us alive. So what did Matt Ryan do in defense?
He dumped it off
to the running back. So I think part of it was, yes, Perry Fuel could have done a little bit more. I agree with Stas. But I think the Falcons deserve credit for countering what the Giants were going to bring to the table.
Not to mention the fact, if the Giants maybe blitz a lot in the first half, maybe then the Falcons adjust back to it at halftime, and then they're making big plays in the second half because the Giants are bringing a lot of heat. So the bottom line is that
game of chess.
The Giants made a great adjustment. The Falcons couldn't adjust to it. Give Perry Fuel credit for that. And all's well that ends well, I guess, is really the bottom line. All right, we'll go a couple minutes long for you, Len. You called in late. I don't want to cut you off too short here, but you can clean up the show for us. What's going on, Len?
Oh, thanks a lot. Thanks a lot. Good, good. Well, nice win yesterday.
Yep.
Listen, I'm not surprised that, you know, the way the Falcons played that game yesterday, short drops and throwing to the running backs. In fact, I told you on Friday, the one thing we were going to have to watch out for were the screens and the short pass. I mean, 14 catches by the running backs yesterday.
You know, Len, it's funny you mentioned that. I went on a limb. I had a bold prediction on our pregame show on the radio, and I said the Falcons running backs would have more receiving yards than they would rushing yards. I kind of took your cue on that and ended up being correct.
Yeah. Well, they've been doing that all year. They throw to the running backs.
And by the way, what happens if you blitz a lot, Len, on those screen passes, by the way? You got guys running forever with no one there to tackle them.
Yeah, absolutely. And all you need is one missed tackle, and, you know, the little guy takes it 75 yards.
A la Antoine Roll and Antoine Smith. It happened. We saw it.
Yep. Well, yeah, nice win. Listen, the way I got this figured out regarding the rest of the season you know, nobody's undefeated.
Yeah.
Fifth week of the season, nobody's undefeated.
Both the Bengals and the Cardinals lost yesterday. You got it.
And only two teams are winless. There's going to be a lot of change, a lot of wins and losses over the next two-thirds of the season.
There's parity across the league.
If we can get to 6-5 coming out of that Dallas game at home, we go to Jacksonville, we go to Tennessee, we host the Redskins. I predicted before it started we would clinch a playoff spot in St. Louis with our 10th win.
You know, Len, if the Giants can figure out a way to go 3-3 in their next six,
there you go. Yeah.
I think you would have to take that for sure. Considering the quality of the competition, if you can go 3-3 and then you're 6-5 with Jaguars, Titans, Redskins, Rams, and Eagles left. I think you have a realistic chance of getting the 10 wins.
There you go. And of course, it all starts Sunday against the Eagles. Listen, two problems with this. You know, you started with offense and defense. You didn't mention special teams. Let me just say two things that kind of stuck out on the special teams to me yesterday. Two problems. You know, I'm kind of an aggressive guy. I want to see those kickoffs come out of the end zone. I want to see guys run it. Dempsey's a pretty good kickoff returner.
Very good.
I don't know if we can play him back there. He's our starting safety. You know, we got a depth problem at safety. But I want to see him coming out. But, guys, there were a couple of times yesterday when that play was over, there were five white shirts getting off our returner and a bunch of blue shirts looking down at the pile. I mean, come on, guys. Get somebody blocked. Knock somebody over.
What I brought up earlier in the show. I think it's more of an issue with the blocking than the decision-making and taking out of the end zone. That's what I think.
All throughout the league this year, I'm seeing all these teams around the NFL bringing every kickoff they can out because so few actually don't go out of the end zone. And more often than not, teams are not getting to the 20, but they think the threat and possibility of that one big return is worth sacrificing 2 to 5 yards of field position on any given possession. And I get where they're coming from on that.
You know, but we're in a situation, it's not a case of just one more block. I mean, there's a lot of blocks that have to take place. Listen, when Kuhn was on the field at the end of the season on kickoff returns, and even during his rookie season, playing in the middle, you know, secret weapon. Kuhn on kickoff returns doing some blocking for us. I think that's the kind of thing that can get us the next 6 to 8 yards and maybe break one. The other thing is the punt blocking. You know, the Eagles are good at that, and they're probably good for a reason. They've got some good special teamers, and they got some good coaching.
No, very good coaching. Chip Kelly and his staff do a great job down there. They really do.
Yeah, and that's Steve's got to get those punts off. And listen, we can go down there and beat them. We've done it before. It's no big deal. Eli in October is money.
And in fact, Len, the Giants historically the last few years really quickly have been better in Dallas and in Philly than they've been at home against those two teams, believe it or not.
Listen, when Eli steps on the field, we got a chance to win, guys.
You got it. Wrap it up, Len. What else you got for us real quick?
That's it. I'm through.
Short, sweet, to the point.
Appreciate it, my
Thank
friend.
You.
Thanks,
Thank
Glenn.
You.
Good Thanks stuff. So Happy you had a good time at the game. All right, we went over. We had to give Glenn some extra time there. Thanks for joining us. Good job on the phones. Good jobs on Twitter. I tried to answer some of your questions as we went along. I appreciate the comments. We appreciate you listening. We appreciate you calling. Later on today, we will have access to the locker room. You can check out those interviews on Giants.com as well as some words from head coach Tom Coughlin. Tomorrow, Lance and I will be back. We'll start to preview Giants and Eagles. I try to get Dave Spadaro on from PhiladelphiaEagles.com. See if he can join us on the phone lines. That'll preview Giants and Eagles. Thanks for joining us. Enjoy the rest of your day. We'll see you tomorrow, noon. Big Blue Kickoff Live is back on Giants.com.